إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فيا إخوتي وأخواتي الكرام أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, I advise you and myself to have the fear of Allah, to have the taqwa and piety of Allah, because it is the fear of Allah that will bring us great benefit. Allah says, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The end will be for those who have piety, those who have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, the believer was created for a high purpose and with a high destiny, which is to worship Allah, to fulfill the ubudiyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the believer, he does not become intoxicated by his passions. He does not become noxious by illicit deeds. Rather, the believer, he purifies himself from sin, and he purifies himself from doing wrong. He does not become stained by evil deeds. As you know, the Prophet ﷺ said that the heart becomes blackened by sin. The more a person sins, the more their heart becomes blackened until it becomes completely covered and it cannot see the truth. But the believer, he purifies himself from sin, from this blackness, by staying away from the sin, by repenting from sin and seeking tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, the believer, he purifies his soul by staying away from the acts of animals, which is committing illicit relationships, zina. The believer, he stays away from that. He guards his senses, he guards his eyes, his hands, every part of his senses. He's careful to guard over them, so that they bear witness for him on the Day of Judgment and not against him. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, we are commanded to guard our awra, our private parts, and from preventing others from seeing them, from others to look at what Allah has commanded us to cover. Allah Most High, He says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفُظُوا فُرُوجُهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. Allah says, say to the believing men to lower their gazes, to look down and lower their gazes away from the haram, from looking at the haram, and to guard their private parts. And why does He command us to do that? Allah tells us, ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. That is purity. That is purer for them. That will purify them from sin and from evil and from wrong. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. And then Allah says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. And say to the believing women, an emphasis, an extra emphasis to the sisters, to the women, to lower their gazes. وَيَحْفَضْنَا فُرُوجَهُنَّ. And so that they should guard their private parts from haram. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah wishes to purify us. Allah wishes for society to be pure from sin and from evil, and to prevent us from becoming like animals, people intoxicated by their desires. Allah wishes us to fulfill a much higher destiny, which is to worship Him alone. On the authority of Muawiyah, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that the Prophet ﷺ said, guard your private parts from everything, from everyone except your spouses, from your husband, from your wife. For those who are married, we are allowed to have relations because Allah has given us a permissible way, a halal way to fulfill our desire. And in this way one achieves reward. But it's for anyone else outside of this marriage bond. We are commanded to guard ourselves from showing our private parts to anyone else. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ, he stated, as was narrated by Imam Muslim, "Let no man look at the awra of another man." SubhanAllah, the Prophet's warning from a man from looking at the awra of another man. Then what about the awra of a woman? It's even more forbidden. And then the Prophet said, "And let no woman look at the awra of another woman," commanding men to guard their private parts and commanding women to guard their private parts from others. And he said, "Let no man undress in front of another man, and let no woman undress in front of other women." So how is it now that people undress in the public spaces? May Allah protect us from that. And on the authority of Sahal ibn Sa'd, the Prophet ﷺ, he said in these very eloquent words, "Whoever guards for me what is between his jaws and what is between his legs, then I guarantee for him the paradise." SubhanAllah, the words of the Prophet are filled with wisdom. Whoever can guard his tongue, the tongue, it commits so many sins. Even though it's such a small muscle, it commits so many sins through lying, through ghibah, through saying wrong to others, through using foul speech. And whoever guards his tongue and he guards his private organ, his private parts, then the Prophet guarantees for him the paradise. This is one of the main things that take a person to the hellfire: their private parts and their tongue. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said in another hadith, whoever, he was asked, "What will bring the most people into paradise?" And he said, "The taqwa of Allah and good character." Having taqwa of Allah, obedience and fear of Allah, that will bring people to the paradise more than any other deed. And what will take the most people to the hellfire? He said, "The mouth and the private part." The mouth and the private part. SubhanAllah, if we think about this, this hadith is narrated by Tirmidhi. How much of society is busy with the speech and with fulfilling their passions? This is their only goal in life. SubhanAllah. So the Prophet, he's guiding us to control these organs so that we may enter into the paradise. And Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, in this hadith also reminds us that we must guard our private parts from anyone outside of marriage. From anyone. The Prophet said that Allah Azza wa Jal, he cursed those who do the actions of the people of Lut. The people of Lut who committed the sin with one another. You see, my brothers and sisters in Islam, this hadith is narrated by Ahmad. We are commanded to follow what Allah has revealed to us. We do not judge the Islam and make it conform to our passions and to our desires. But we make our passions and desires conform to the guidance of Allah, to what He revealed. This will bring us success as an ummah. And we have to be careful not to fall into the sin of the previous nations who changed the religion to fulfill their passions, to fulfill their desires. Also, Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, he stated that the Prophet ﷺ said, "There will be three whom Allah will not speak to on the Day of Judgment, nor purify them, nor look at them, and they will have a grievous punishment." Who are these people that have these four terrible things on the Day of Judgment? Allah will not speak to them words of mercy, nor will He purify them from their sin, nor will He look at them, and they will have a grievous punishment. The Prophet said, an old man, a shaykhun zan, an old man who committed zina, an old man who committed zina, and a king who was a liar, a king who lied, and a poor person who was arrogant. Why are these people specified by the Prophet ﷺ? Zina is haram for all, for young and old. But more haram or more blameworthy in an older person because he does not have the youthful energy. And lying is haram for all, but it's more haram for a king because he doesn't have anything to fear that forces him to lie. And being arrogant is haram for all of us. But arrogance from the poor person, he doesn't have the wealth that would cause him to be arrogant. So these people will have a terrible punishment on the Day of Judgment. And Imam Ahmad, may Allah have mercy on him, the Imam of the people of Ahl Sunnah, he said, "I do not know anything greater than killing a life than zina, than committing zina." SubhanAllah, he compared zina to killing a life. Because zina, it is so terrible, its effects on society, the spread of disease, the break of the family, where there's children outside of marriage, and perhaps even many children are killed because of these types of relationships. So Imam Ahmad, he warned about the zina. He said it's worse than the killing of a life. And we also have this very scary hadith. When one day there was an eclipse, and the eclipse is a sign, one of the signs that will happen on the Day of Judgment. So the Sahaba, they would gather, and as you know, it's the Sunnah to pray the eclipse prayer. So the Prophet ﷺ, he prayed a long prayer, and then he gave us a sermon, and he said, "O Ummah of Muhammad, O nation of Muhammad ﷺ," he said that no one has more ghira over his servants, more jealousy over his servants than Allah has over his servants committing zina. Allah has ghira, jealousy, protective jealousy when his servants, they make zina. Allah is angered by this. And he said that Allah has ghira over his female servants who commit this act. And the Prophet said, "O Ummah of Muhammad, if you knew what I knew, you would cry much and laugh little. Indeed, I have completed the message for you." This was narrated by Imam Muslim. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, we should have fear of Allah. Fear Allah and fear His wrath and His punishment. And beware of His repayment on a great day. Also, my beloved brothers in Islam and sisters in Islam, Islam did not forbid a thing, except that it also forbade the means that lead to it. The means that take one down the path of evil. Allah says, وَلَا تَتَّبِيُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. He says, do not follow in the footsteps of the shaytan. He didn't say, لَا تَتَّبِيُوا الشَّيْطَانِ. He said, do not even go in the footsteps of the shaytan. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ, he left behind guidance for us to prevent us from going down the pathway of zina and to help prevent us from falling into haram. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, be warned of sitting for men, sitting together with women in a gathering. And he said in the same hadith, and be warned of the brother-in-law. Some women, they say, he's my brother-in-law, he's like a brother. No, the Prophet ﷺ, he warned about that. The free mixing in the home between those who are called ajanib, they are not permissible for one another, they're not maharim. This leads to great evil. The Prophet said, Alhamu al-maut. The brother-in-law is death. So many bad things have happened when a woman is alone in the house with a marriageable relative. Also, the Prophet ﷺ, he forbade the khalwa between a man and a woman on the authority of Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him. The Prophet ﷺ said, no one of you is secluded in a room with a woman except that the third of them is the shaytan. No woman is alone in a room with a man except the third is the shaytan. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith that is agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim, he said, beware of staying in a room with another woman except with a mahram. Except if she has a mahram in a permissible means of meeting with a woman for the intention of marriage in the presence of a mahram, then the man can see the woman because he's looking for marriage. He's not looking for zina. He's looking for halal. He's not looking for haram. Also, my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said, the woman is awra. The woman is awra. She's protected. The awra is something we guard, we cover, we don't expose to everyone to see. The woman is awra. She's to be guarded and honored in Islam. Not to be used cheaply to sell cars or to sell alcohol. The woman in Islam is guarded. She's to be protected. And this is the meaning of the hijab. To guard the honor of the woman from being harmed by those in the society. Also, the Prophet he forbade women from wearing perfume and going out into the public, because this would also lead down the pathway to haram. Abu Huraira, he once met a woman who had was wearing perfume, and he said, "Where are you going, O servant of the Jabbar, O female servant of the Mighty One?" She said, "I'm going to the masjid." Abu Huraira, he said, "Do you know that even though you're wearing this perfume?" She said, "Yes." Then Abu Huraira, he said that, "I heard the Messenger of Allah say that any woman who goes to the masjid wearing perfume, her salah will not be accepted until she washes the perfume." This is narrated by Imam Ibn Majah. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, this is a reminder not to go down the pathways, to stay away from the pathways that the shaitan takes us to commit sin. And finally, the Prophet ﷺ, he gave us advice on how to prevent the free mixing, even in the masjid. Salama, she said that after the Prophet ﷺ gave the taslim, he would wait for a moment and tell the sahaba to wait. And she says, "I thought that he did this so that the woman could have time to leave, so they wouldn't be crowded in the hallway or to be disturbed by the men." So this is also one of the wisdoms. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, if to Ibn Umar, on one occasion, when he was leaving through the door, one of the doors in the masjid, he said, "I wish you left this door for the women, so the women could leave peacefully on their own." And Ibn Umar, he never left through that door again for the rest of his life. He followed the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My beloved brothers and sisters, O Muslims, this is a dangerous thing. This is a serious thing. This zina, the fitna of zina, is a serious thing. When fitna spreads, it goes in all directions. Obey Allah so that on the day of judgment you will be raised pure. You will be raised up in a good state. Allah will say to you, inshaAllah, salamun alaykum tibtum فَادْخُلُوهَا خَالِدِينَ. Enter into the paradise. May Allah bless me and you. أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لِي وَلَكُمْ يَا فَوْزَ الْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ. أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد. My fellow beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, we live in an age when marriage is looked down upon. It's looked upon as a burden. But in fact, marriage is a virtuous act. The Prophet ﷺ said, he commanded the young people to get married. And because marriage guards one's eyesight from haram, and it helps one to guard his private parts. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, this dunya is attractive things, and the best thing from this dunya is a righteous wife. A righteous wife who guards, or helps her husband guard his chastity. And a husband who helps his wife to guard her chastity. The Prophet ﷺ, he commanded the women to guard their private parts, their ornaments, to wear the hijab, the loose clothing that covers their entire body, except the hands and the face, according to some ulama. Some of them also included the face. This is to honor her and to protect her. My beloved brothers, my beloved sisters, hold on to your hijab. This is a noble thing in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barik ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت اللهم احفظنا من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات اللهم اغفر لنا جميعا يا غفور يا غفور اللهم اشفي مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشفي مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم رد المسلمين إلى دينك ردا جميلا اللهم ردي عن الخلفاء الراشدين والأصحاب الكريم يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم انصر الإسلام اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعيدكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا يرحمكم الله وأقيموا الصلاة